Everybody sets out some kind of goals. They fail to accomplish those goals one way or another. I think the biggest thing that
it comes to actually changing, you have to get past this first initial step, which is
all those years, they haven't really done anything towards that goal. And now they want to just out of nowhere achieve something crazy.
Do your new beast type of thing, just a trend, just to go viral, just to
True.
Obviously like trying things out and how they're going to work is just the best thing. But
so this is a flow state chart, and pretty much what it means is that it'll be different for everyone because everyone's standards are different.
If you're not taking your goal seriously, if you're not taking your habits seriously, you take as a joke, it will end up being a joke.
Oh, okay. If I work all day, is it okay for me to have a drink? Or is it okay for me to play video games?
Be consistent. Go slow, because slow and steady wins the race. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Every guy's masculine. How can a guy not be masculine?
I mean, we should challenge our audience on doing this 2025 if they haven't done so. Is, hey, guys. Welcome back to another episode of The Bros Think Big. Happy New Year's. It's 2025.
Happy New Year's, everyone.
Happy New Year's.
And it's been a long year, ever since we did a last episode on New Year's, which was 1 year ago. We talked about New Year's resolution and how people look at New Year's resolution, why people fail, how to look at New Year's resolution to actually make something of your life and succeed in the goals that you set for yourself. Why is this a controversial topic? Because every year, everybody sets out some kind of goals and they fail to accomplish those goals one way or another. I think the biggest thing that goes through that is people not properly setting out their goals and not having a proper game plan on how they will achieve those goals, because it's the hype on the new year's. Oh, like I'm going to be better version of myself. I'm going to do this and that, achieve this. But in reality, they fail. This happens in months. And it's kind of sad, because to fail a goal in months and like give up on it completely is tragic. Why should you even set a goal like that to fail that fast? Is because you're not doing something right. So we are here to kind of share our experiences, our stories, and as well as some kind of framework to help you to achieve those goals and not be that person that fails. Because why set a goal that just completely shatters? You know, it's not a good feeling, nor should you ever go through that. So I think to begin with, and first of all, thank you guys for being on this journey with us the whole time. Thank you for commenting. Thank you for sharing our videos, giving us the support. It really means a lot, not just in the comment section, but outside of YouTube. We get a lot of feedback from people, our friends telling us like they really like our podcast, they watch us. And this really means a lot to us. This really keeps us motivated and keeps us going, because at the end of the day, this podcast is for you guys and it's the impact that we can do in this world positively. So, who wants to get started with episode to kind of say, what's the first reason why people fail that we have written down?
What we have written down, I'll just start off, is we wrote a couple things down that we kind of thought like people kind of go through. And the first thing, obviously, is just that first initial excitement that people feel during the New Year's. Like they think it's a New Year's, it's time for me to change, which isn't a bad thing at all. Like I'm happy for anyone who like wants to change, who wants to really take that next step forward in their growth and their journey, et cetera. But when it comes to the journey, when it comes to actually changing, you have to get past this first initial step, which is like that. Once all that motivation runs out from the New Year's, all that excitement, it's just like, okay, now you actually have to still grind. Like the first couple of weeks, like you still actually have to keep going to the gym. You still actually have to keep waking up early. You still have to keep doing these things because that's what you said you wanted to do, right? Exactly. So this is the first thing that we've written down. The first initial motivation stage of New Year's, where people get burnt out. Because they overextend themselves, they don't know how to pace themselves in the process, and they just, the first couple of days, they just go full all in, and they just end up burning out and then wanting to give up and quit.
I think that's a very interesting point, because one of the things that I recently did post on my story too on the New Year's is, I don't know, for me, the whole New Year's resolution concept is, it's the one day that makes a huge difference in people's lives when all those years, they haven't really done anything towards that goal. And now in that one day or a couple of weeks from then, they want to just out of nowhere achieve something crazy. It's like, it's kind of delusional, and you're making yourself think that you're going to make something happen in a couple of weeks and just 1 year when you haven't done anything the previous years. I think it's a false hope that you give yourself, which isn't good either. It's good to, I guess, motivate yourself and encourage yourself, but not falsely like that. Because, look, that's what it comes down to. If you work all the time throughout that year, the 2025, that turning point from 2024 to 2025 is really that one day. So you just keep going. The years just change. You're doing the work. The years just go on and on. It's not that, okay, this one year I'm going to do this, and then the next year I'm going to do completely different thing as if you have some magic power to make it happen. That's not how it works. But it looks like the New Year's resolution draws that type of picture in people's head. And that, I think that is one of the reasons why they also fail. It's a psychological trick that they play on themselves. And then it's not tied in with reality too much. And when that's the case, that's why their goals fail.
Yeah, I feel like we've all been there, like with that feeling of being in despair, feeling like
sure.
You just don't have any of the motivation. It's called the pit of despair. Like when we're all the first day of the month, the first day of the week, the first day of the year. This is my time. I'm going to lock in.
Yeah.
The first day, maybe the second day you get to, then the external motivation runs out and all of a sudden you have to keep going, right? And over time, you have to keep with that process. And people, they jump out of, once they're in the bottom, once they hit the bottom of the roller coaster, jump out because it's too much of a going from top to bottom. They can't really handle it. And so they jump out and they repeat the cycle. You know what? Yeah, this is my time. I'm going to go. Then they hit a low in their life and they're like, no, I got to jump out. They don't keep going.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's the spirit of the year, the 2025. It feels good. You feel pumped. You feel motivated. You feel like you're going to go all in, discipline yourself too much. And then what happens is, like you said, you burn yourself out. People just put in so much reps those couple weeks to the point where they don't even see the point of them doing that much work, because they expect the results really fast. And just to go back to the same point of the roller coaster is, your whole life has to be like that roller coaster. Otherwise, you're not really growing. If you don't have the downs, how are you going to have the up? It's the momentum that you get. So like I said, when the holiday spirit lasts for weeks and months, then what it comes down to is, I mean, nothing really changed. It was just those couple weeks that I felt motivated, but the rest was just how my life used to be, you know? So like I said, it's really not a year thing. I think it's more like your habits. So whoever you were in 2024 or end of 2024, those couple months, and what you've been doing leading up to that is most likely who you're still going to be in the first months of the 2025. It's not going to make a huge difference, because the change doesn't happen in months or weeks. It takes years. And it takes multiple years. So just keep on doing what you were doing in 2024 that were good, the good habits, the positive things, and just expect the results not in new years. Just expect the results when you're ready for the results. Just keep putting in the work, regardless of what the years are. You know what I mean? Because if we had to really ask ourselves, it doesn't even feel like it's 2025. The year really went fast. And it's just what we took away from the last year, then what are we here to do in a couple of weeks and make a huge change? I don't think that's how it works for me. It never worked for me. Georgie, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I think you guys said everything perfect, you know. I mean, I don't know what else to add, but that's pretty much it. I think just people, especially people that are making content, they just do it for content sometimes. They don't really believe that, you know, new year, new me type of thing. Just a trend, just go viral, just to, you know, make it funny. Obviously, some people probably think that because the numbers change, something magically is going to change. But I mean, let's be real here. Just because the numbers change in 2025, you're not going to change as a person. Because like you said, who you were like days ago is not going to change. Like, you can't change in days. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not to the point where you're going to make a huge impact on, you know, going to the gym every day or waking up early or, you know, disciplining yourself to read books and stay on the right path.
True.
And I also think it's definitely lack of setting the goals in the right way, because what people do is they set goals to go to the gym every day after, like, on the New Year's, right? And when they're not used to going to the gym every single day, they're not going to be able to maintain that motivation throughout the months, throughout the weeks. So they should start off slow, because, you know, it's like they're new to the game and they can't just start with going to gym every single day for 1 week, because then guess what? They're going to be sore. They're going to be tired. They're going to be exhausted. They're not used to that type of pressure and that type of schedule. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they got to start off slow. They got to start maybe 3 times a week and then increase it later and later, because I feel like setting goals that are kind of beyond on their reach, right? That's just not going to last long.
Yeah, 100%.
Pretty much,
setting proper goals, I think, is a very important one. And Mike, you would know a lot about like setting goals, and you've taught people how to set their goals properly and stuff. And, you know, even the guild meetings that we would have, I think one of the biggest thing that we did talk about is setting the proper goals and not overextending to setting crazy goals for yourself, but slowly going to, you know, let's say raising, the, I would say increasing the repetitions as you go on. So what would you have to say about that?
Like what I call it is like, I mean, when it comes to any sort of goal, it's all about reaping and sowing and reaping. That's the whole idea. We live in a world of cause and effect. So the actions that you take will just grant you the results that you want. But it depends what actions that you do take, because not taking action is still taking action, but not an action that you want to take. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
If you choose, like you're still choosing to do something. You're choosing to act on something that is not according to your goals. That's still sowing. And then you as a result reap that thing. So what I usually talk about with like on my YouTube channel and stuff like that is breaking things down in like day by day. What are the habits you have to implement every single day in order to achieve your goal? And when I first started like tracking anything, tracking my habits, I just said like 4 habits. That's it. 4 habits.
Exactly.
And I completely just did terrible the first month of tracking my habits. I had like I did like green for the times that I did good and red for the times I missed my habit. I had like maybe 40% green on that habit tracker.
Do you remember what the goals were?
No,
the habits?
Yeah, the habits for that month was to, this was like in August, August of 2023. It was to do semen retention. That was one. Number two was read the Bible. Number three was...
Meditate?
Waking up?
I don't know if it was early. Meditate. I forget. I think it was either waking up or meditating.
Yeah.
I think it was those two, actually.
Those two, that makes it 4, yeah.
And then I completely just sucked at those. And I just was like, wow, I have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
But my whole mindset was, I'm not going to just set so many things out for myself when I can't even get these 4 things right every single day. So that's the whole idea, is to pace yourself, is to start with one thing. Start with making your bed. Oh, that was one habit. That was one habit. So it was making my bed. And it might be something so simple. It might not even be like attached to like my goals or my dreams, but... it's a discipline. And
exactly.
If you're disciplined in one thing, you'll be disciplined in other areas. It'll pour out into other areas of your life. So I start out with just making my bed in the morning. And some people like just make their bed automatically. Like they were raised like that. I was not raised like that. I would, whenever I'd go to school, go to work, I would leave the last minute and my bed would be just my blanket would be all like wrinkled and messed up. And I have like a pillow on the floor. Like, what is happening? It looks like a hurricane went through my room.
And then you go home and sleep in the same bed. So that way you didn't have to make the bed, right?
Yeah. And like that, it's just chaos. And so that's what my mind was, because that's what my environment was like. And so it's tightening up those small changes in your life. It's taking out, it's buying healthier foods in your pantry. It's making your bed in the morning. It's not going on your phone for the first hour. It's putting your phone on do not disturb. It's driving without music. It's those little changes in your life that really do compound and make a difference.
Yeah, because it's the character that results into the success rather than what you necessarily accomplish. Because like you said, I think it's building the character. Making bed may not have anything to do with being a YouTuber or a coach, nothing like that, but it's those habits that then turn you into a character that now you're a disciplined person. You wake up every day consistent, making your bed, keeping your area clean, being a clean person, and I would say balanced in your mind. Because I've noticed that when you change your surroundings, even just changing the room a little bit, it makes you feel good. It makes you feel like a different person, so to speak. I have rearranged my room and it made me feel like I was sitting in a new room, even though I wasn't. It's just that your mind is tricked into believing that now you are in a different environment and it makes you feel good. Therefore, the work that you get done is actually more quality. I've noticed that when I change my room, I got a desk. I was sitting on a desk now with a chair, with a note, with the book, like all lined right next to me in a very nice way. My work was just productive because now my mind was into an ordered state of mind where I was like, okay, now I have to do work. And these are the little things that when you do change and implement into your life, your character changes. When your character changes, then you are becoming that person that is aligned to what your goals are.
Like all the results and the outcomes in your life are simply a byproduct of who you think you are inside of your head. That's why it's like,
for sure,
when your habits, your character is determined by your habits, and your whole entire life, your results, your outcomes are determined by the character that you are, who you think you are inside of your head.
Exactly.
And it all just kind of trickles over and manifests itself like outwardly and stuff like that, how you are inward. So if your standards are, hey, like I cannot even do anything else unless my bed is made, I meditate and my mind is clear. Guess what? Those standards, the byproduct of that will be clear in other areas of your life.
For sure. Yeah, that's why one of my biggest thing that I think our audience, that we should challenge our audience on doing this 2025 if they haven't done so, is literally making 3 to 4 habits, just like how we started. Because I'll be honest, I started with about 3 to 4 habits that I really wanted to be consistent with. It's reading a book for even 5 pages, just 1 page even. Just kind of look at yourself and see where you are starting. Because if somebody is able to read 5 pages and then their attention span isn't really good after 5 minutes, but yours is simply 1 page and you just can't really do anymore, start with 1 page. Do your own thing in your life and then grow with your capabilities rather than what somebody else is doing. So I would say set 3 to 4 goals that you really want, or habits that you want to do every day consistently, such as going to gym for, let's say, 30 minutes, whether that be doing cardio for 5 minutes. Like, these are the little things that you can do. Making your bed, making sure that you brush your teeth every morning, every night, and then track your results. Reading a book 1 page. And when you notice that for 30 days, you failed most of it, this will just reflect on your character that you're not consistent. It's hard to be consistent, and it's not to blame anybody else. I've had moments, still do till this day, where if I track, let's say, reading a book for 10 minutes or 10 pages a day, I might fail because now I devote more of my attention to something else. And this isn't an excuse, but this is just the fact that I need to now find more time to make sure that I complete my goals no matter what, because the excuses are always going to be there, there shouldn't be any excuses to why you're not doing something. Because 10 minutes, or 10 pages a day, that takes, for me personally, about 15, 20 minutes the most to read 10 pages, depending on how big the book is. But
unless you're reading Jordan Peterson book, then that takes like an hour, bro. I was reading the book you gave us. Yeah. I had to reread it one sentence. I had to reread it like 10 times. I'm like, what is this guy talking about?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Exactly. So definitely do implement those habits in your life, your habits, and do this according to your goal. And if you don't know what your goal is yet, just do simple things.
Figure out what you want.
But let's say somebody is sitting there and it's like, I don't really have a definite goal yet for 2025. I just want to get myself together. My number one thing would be for them to track making sure that their room is clean every day, making their bed. I would say make your bed. Make sure that you brush your teeth in the morning and at night, both. 3 for me would be read at least 1 page a day, consistently for a month. Track those records. And then 4 would be go to the gym or do some kind of physical activity at least for 15 to 30 minutes. At least. These are very easy for a beginner, somebody who, really wants to get their life in order and wants to get started somewhere at a really low level, like level 1 player. That would be, I think, ideal 4 habits that you should write down and track your results, and then slowly you will when you complete those 30 days, and you will be more consistent than now, let's say 80 to 90% you've completed, I think that's very good. Now you can move on to adding one more habit, or just increasing the repetitions on the habits that you were doing, such as reading 2 pages now, 3. And you don't need to grow exponentially every single month. Just grow slowly, but make sure that through those small growths, you are consistent. I think consistency is key. So it's better to read 5 more pages than last month and be consistent for that month, than try to increase it for 10 more pages. But then, you know, at the end of the month, you were 30% consistent compared to the 70% that you failed. So
like how I would do it is like when I made a habit tracker, it would, my goal for that month would be to get like 70% green, 60% green, 70% green. And the next month I would want to get 80% green.
Right.
And the next month, maybe 85% green, like a little bit more each month or so.
Exactly.
Depending on the habits, how many I track and stuff. But another thing too is like, if you really want to see progress in your life, you need to track things. Like if nothing will get improved, if it's not tracked, if you're not giving attention to it.
Right.
That's why I've been like tracking my workouts. I've been tracking like my macros a little bit more. I've been tracking obviously like my habits, of course, just making sure everything that I want to improve is I'm giving attention to by tracking it, seeing the progress over time.
Exactly. Physical proof that you improved is a whole different motivational factor than just kind of knowing in the back of your head that you improved in something, because now you get to wake up every day and go to sleep every day looking at how much you've improved. And that's why you have, you know, your habit trackers laid out in front of you on your desk.
On my wall,
exactly, on your wall in front of the desk.
That it gives you me confidence. Every day.
Exactly that. Oh, look, I've been consistent. When you see all those greens in front of you, you're just proud of yourself, and you noticed how much you accomplished from when you started. Because when you see that first habit tracker and it's all red, and now you see 5 months later, a year later,
it's mostly green,
that just shows how much you improved. And now with this, you can also help other people. And then, you know, with your actions, you lead by example.
And another thing too, like something that I've realized is that like you can actually do a lot more than you think you can with the right motivation and with the right reason why.
For sure.
Because for like, I would say in 2024, like in the middle of the year, I'd say like I was like kind of like not necessarily focusing on my habits, but I was just kind of like being a little bit more spontaneous with like my life and stuff like that. I wasn't really tracking as much or worrying about tracking. I was just kind of like, I'm just going to track, but I'm not really going to worry about getting green. I'm just going to see what I do.
Okay.
And that really did not allow me to kind of grow. And like we all have months or days, like or weeks where we're kind of just like, we have to kind of just go through the motions a little bit. But I was intentionally like not putting my first, like putting another step forward towards my goals.
Not prioritizing.
Yeah. And versus when I started doing 75 hard, like when I actually started focusing and prioritizing this type of stuff,
right?
Like I've seen like, wow, I can actually do way more than I can. I've been having a lot more mental battles. I've been winning those battles. I can, like, I'm actually just, I feel the force. I feel resistance so much more, but also from that, I feel more growth. I 100%. Feel like I can do a lot more.
Yeah.
So another point that like I've written down here is in order to grow, you must face some sort of resistance this year.
100%.
Because change is not easy. It's not fun all the time. It's not like this cute thing that people make it out to be, like with like the New Year's resolution. People hype it up to make it think it's like, yeah, you're gonna be winning all year long. Like, no, like you're gonna lose. Like I hope you lose too, because losing, like you learn, like you understand, and then you can kind of get better. Because if you're winning all the time, it's just like, are you really growing?
Yeah, exactly.
In a sense.
Or are you challenging yourself enough to fail?
Exactly. Are you challenging yourself to fail? So in order to really grow and really change, you need to really just kind of get rid of who you were before and just always try to make a new person by like facing resistance.
Yeah, because that's when your character truly develops. That's why what we wrote down is you must do things differently than you were doing before. It's really that simple. What it comes down to is reflect on your life a year ago, a couple months ago, leading up to 2024, and just kind of give yourself a description on who you were and who are you today and who are you trying to be next year, or who are you trying to be next month. And when you set that goal, that proper goal for yourself, and really, really prioritize becoming that person, you will take yourself seriously and you will take your habits and your life seriously overall. Because if you're not taking your goal seriously, therefore you don't really want the goal. Otherwise, you would take it seriously. If you're not taking your habits seriously, that means you don't want to do the habits to develop you into the character that completes those habits. So whatever you take as a joke, it will end up being a joke. So if you take your life as a joke and as something that doesn't really need much attention, well, at the end of the day, you will live a lifestyle that's not that serious. You will live a lifestyle that's not that deep. You won't become the person that thinks about their life overall deeply. And this isn't to kind of like bash on you guys or anything like that, because this is something I tell myself as well. This is how I kind of talk to myself on the days where I mess up, not because I'm too busy or something, not because I might get complacent or I might make excuses for myself or I might take a little bit more days off than I should. And this is what I tell myself. It's like, if I don't do this in my life, nobody else will. Especially being in a space where you're an entrepreneur and you're not going to college or have a stable job or something that is like set out schedule from other people, then you are in control of your life. So if you don't get your life in order, nobody else is doing it for you. Rather, when you're in a place where corporate job, where your boss has to call you to go there at a specific time, you know, your schedule set out. And this isn't to say it's bad, but it's just the difference when you're an entrepreneur versus when you're in a space where you're not really like in charge of your schedule fully, like 100% type of thing. You know what I mean? So it's very important that no matter where you are, you really get your life in order and take it seriously. Otherwise, it's not going to be serious. It's sad, but it's true.
I think a huge problem that I was just thinking about it, what else they face, right? Because everything you guys said is like true, right? And I was trying to think like what else could be there. And I was I heard this from somebody talking about it too. And it has to do a lot with this New Year thing. People think I have time. I have a lot of time until next year. Right. And I have a lot of time until whatever next yeah. month, right? And I feel like that that mindset and saying I have a lot of time is when you don't have time at all. Because then the next year, 2026, will come so by so fast that you won't know. You know what I mean? Because of that thinking, I have so much time. I have so much time. And now if you have a certain goal, you start to kind of put that aside and, you know, have fun. And then yeah. and then you of course, you do the stuff. And then you put other stuff aside because you're like, oh, I have time. And then time just runs by. Another thing is we don't know when, like God forbid, but anything happens when we die, right? You don't know when that's going to happen. You don't know when, you know, you might...
Things go south.
Exactly. Things go bad. You never know that, right? Nothing's promised. So with that mindset, you have to really try to make the best out of yourself every single day, every single second, every single
right.
minute, every single hour. You know what I mean? So, you know, people saying I have time and I have... you know, years to accomplish my goal. It's just a foolish thing to say just because you're really not in charge of it. God is, you know, God is in charge of your being, yeah. Of your like, you know, time in on earth. So for us humans to say that we are in charge and we know like, oh, I got time is a foolish thing to say.
And because then you're not taking even the life seriously.
Yeah. And even if you don't think about those stuff, right, that deeply, right? Like you just got to ask yourself, you know, the time you start making statements like that is when you don't get your work done, because then you start putting stuff aside and nothing gets done. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think it's very important to also mention that it depends who is, I guess, setting these goals out for themselves, because I think at some point, everybody, especially nowadays, think that they don't have time. And then there's this side of people where they think they have all the time in the world, but in reality they don't. But then this side of people that are so stressed about not having enough time are also not in a good position, because you can't overstress yourself too much to the point where now you don't think you have time, and you don't think that you have time to fail, or you don't have time to go through the change, even if it means you go at the rock bottom. Yeah. So it's like, I think you have to really find that nice balance in your lifestyle that it's not... What happened? Gotcha. Oh, okay. No, that's all good. So you really have to find that balance in your life where you really understand that I don't need to necessarily overwork to achieve something, but then at the same time, I don't have the time to also
waste
into my craft. So you have to take both seriously, but then at the same time, not too serious to the point where it goes against you and works against you rather than in your favor. You know what I mean? Like, what would you say? Where did you personally find that sweet balance of, okay, I have time, I'm still young, and also really understanding that you can't play around with time and say, I have all the time in the world when you don't.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important to understand like where your time and attention goes to, because I remember times when I was really complacent last year in 2024, and it was when I was winning.
The beginning of the year or?
No, like I'll tell you, because I found that when I was winning, like when I was getting a lot of subscribers on YouTube and stuff, like it was like really popping off. That's when I got the most lazy.
Okay.
Because I was winning, right? I was like, oh, like, yes, like this is good.
I've done it.
And then that's when I would give myself like more time to kind of just like more time, more free time to like do whatever, like more spontaneous time.
Right.
But I'm the type of person where like I kind of like when I know what to do at certain times, like I have a strict schedule and stuff like that, but there's a fine like balance between the two. But I found that when I have more spontaneousness in my day, or like I just give it to wherever, like whatever, that's like when like I can get more complacent.
Okay.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, kind of. It's like, you know how it is with our parents and even the society. It's like, dude, you're already 21. Next year, you're going to turn 22 so fast. You know, you need to worry about your life. You need to worry about being successful. You need to worry about already, you know, providing enough to then eventually you having family and all this kind of stuff. Now, I'm not saying you're going to feel the pressure, but it is being said with some kind of pressure, whether you like it or not. So there's this side of people that feel so much pressure that they're 21 and they haven't done anything when they see on social media what other 21-year-olds are doing, even though it might not be true. And we talked about this in our previous episodes with how social media packages it. But then on the other hand, it's this type of people who say, I have all the time in the world. It's like, I don't need to do anything. Like, you know, Gary Vee. Gary Vee really promotes that, you know, you don't need to necessarily have your life figured out, or you don't need to necessarily be successful now. And I think it's very good that he does it the way he does. But I think you can't take his message for granted. You can't listen to Gary Vee and say, because Gary Vee say it, I really have all the time in the world, and be ignorant to the fact that, I mean, you really don't. At the same time,
you don't.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like Gary Vee really preaches good message for a person like me who has already realized the type of balance that you need when not taking things too seriously to the point where now you get in a depressing and like in an anxietal state of mind where you are worrying about your future, but then at the same time, not thinking too much about, I have all the time in the world. You know what I mean? So that's the kind of balance that I was talking about.
Yeah. No,
where did you find it? If you could remember.
Yeah, I would say that, I mean, when people say like, oh, like I have a bunch of time and stuff like that, like what Georgie said, like they're saying that because they don't have time. Like they need to say it out loud in order to kind of like reassure themselves that, oh, but I have time, because there's some sort of pressure that they're feeling. Listen, I don't even think there's anything wrong with seeing other 21-year-olds that are absolutely killing it on the internet. It should kind of wake you up and stuff like that. Like I remember during one of the recent like soccer events, it was either the World Cup, not the World Cup, it was the most recent one.
Euros?
I think it was the Euros. This is one kid, he was 16 or 17. And
commentators like, what were you doing at 17, right?
Yeah, and I saw people on the internet talking about, oh, like, wow, there's a 16-year-old on the field and stuff like that. Like, I'm over here, like, working McDonald's or something. They said something like that. But that, I hope that people see that and it hurts them a little bit just because of the fact that, look, there's people out there your age accomplishing things that, you know what I mean, that you can, like, you don't necessarily have to be a soccer star in the Euros at 16, but you can do
that in your life.
You can do more. You can do more. I will always promote you that you can do more and don't always go for less. There's always time to kind of rest and to chill. And I understand that everyone needs rest or everyone for needs sure. time to kind of decompress and stuff like that. I understand that. But don't, like, you know when you're lazy or not. Like, you can't, like, lie to yourself, right? Like, you know whether or not you're really, like, working hard or not.
Yeah.
I found balance with this is what I would do, right? I would always want to also, you know, especially on this, like, the journey of self-improvement when we first started the podcast and everything, I wanted to get my stuff done. And then, you know, if I had free time, then I would hang out with my friends or I would go play soccer or I would do whatever, like, you know. My thing was always get the work done, what I needed to be done, like doing the clips, right? At that time, it was doing clips, and I had two habits that I wrote down. Right. It was meditation for like 5-10 minutes and then reading a book for like 15-30 minutes.
Yeah.
So that was like the three main ones. And then after I would do those stuff, then I would give myself time to, if my friend called me, let's go play soccer, then I would go. But it was like this. Sometimes they would call me in the afternoon when I had to do the clip or I still had to read a book and I had to still work out and stuff like that. But like, I wouldn't really say like working out was my like habit that I would write down. It's like, it's natural. What comes, like, I just work out, like, you know what I mean?
It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle. So my habits were mostly like reading a book and meditation and then clips, like it needed to be done. You know what I mean? So if I didn't finish those stuff, I wouldn't go and
hang out with them
because I wouldn't want to say, you know what, I'll do those later because I've done that too. I've said, you know what, I'll come back and then I'll do the clip. And then next thing you know, I'll come back like at 8. I need to take a shower. I need to eat. And then boom, it's already like 11:10. And now I still need to do the clip. Yeah. And there's no point because then you have to post clip at least like 8 o'clock because posting it late, it just wouldn't do good. Plus, we had to send it in the group chat and everybody had to say their opinion about it.
Right.
And like, that wouldn't work. You know what I mean? So I feel like obviously like trying things out and how they're going to work is just the best thing. But at the same time, there's a saying, I don't know. I can't really quote it right now, but it's just like, you have to get the stuff done first before you start to play. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Rest is for later and work. You have to prioritize work.
Exactly.
Because, you know, if you're looking at your lifestyle and you want to be somebody that's in your eyes, successful and in your eyes, very, I guess that 1% category, then you really have to do what the 1% is doing. That's just what it comes down to. So if that 1% category is about getting the work done and really prioritizing their work, then you really can't be just, you know, doing what other people ask you from left to right. If somebody calls you, hey, like, I have free time, maybe they got their work done and you haven't. So
that was kind, like, of my mindset going into it. Somebody's calling me and then it's like, guess what, they got their work done, you didn't get your work done. Like, why are you going out and having fun?
They didn't get their work done.
Probably didn't, right?
Yeah, and they're just procrastinating like you are.
Right.
Yeah.
But either way, it comes down to what are your goals?
It personally did help me find the balance because then my lifestyle was having fun, and then doing a little bit of work.
Yeah.
Right. But then the balance was I was doing work and I was also, I mean, it was more little time of like having fun, but I was balancing it out because if I just throughout the day just read a book, work out, and then kind of over exaggerate myself, kind of burn myself out.
Yeah.
Then next day I wouldn't be able to be as productive because then I needed kind of that rest time. You know what I mean? Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I was personally doing that. For some people, it might not work, right? For some people, it's like they don't want to kind of hang out until like it's weekends. You know what I mean? Some people just have that sort of schedule on their what's it called? But I mean, personally, that's just how I was like really balancing it out. Yeah. I was just doing the work. And then if I had free time, then I would obviously do.
Same here. With my friends. I don't know. I have a thing where I don't really like necessarily resting, and not in a way where I don't mean like I don't get sleep or anything. I mean, just chill with friends or hang out with friends too much during the week. I think for me personally, weekdays are my work days, and I really take it seriously. I really take Monday
and, bro, the weekends feel so much better when the whole throughout the weekday you're getting the work done, and then the weekends you really spend
time with people that you miss spending time with during the week. Otherwise, if you're spending time with friends or family every single day to the point where now you don't devote any energy to your work, you hate being around your family and friends, even though it sounds bad, but in reality, it's true, because what happens is you spend too much time with people to the point where now you don't work, your work
doesn't and your work gets like
finished, yeah.
Oh, bunched up on weekends.
Right.
When it's time to, and you're like, oh, weekends are supposed to be rest it's day. And guess up, what? Yeah. I can't rest now. And you're right. Kind of like putting all this pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
There's a reason why God said that what's called Sunday was supposed to be like the rest day. You know what I mean? Like work the other days and rest on the last day.
Right. And you know what I heard about that?
Which was balance, bro.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. And then I heard this. I remember I was in the car, and when I was door dashing, I would listen to a lot of podcasts and you know, speakers on stage and stuff talking about success. And one of the things that the speaker said was God worked for 6 days and worked on the last day, and he created the world. What did you do to rest on the Sunday, on Sunday? You know what I mean? So it should be that wake up call. It's like, what did you do for those 6 days or those 5 days for you to, you know, just almost take a rest on the weekends? Do you know what I mean? Reflect on that lifestyle that you have during the week or those days that you worked.
Yeah, I feel like with this idea, it's like for me personally, like it's hard for me to kind of find time to like work hard and then play hard. As in, like when I say play hard, I mean like rest hard.
Right.
It's hard for me to find that balance, just because like sometimes for me, if have you ever seen like this chart where it's just like a flow state? Like if you have too much anxiety, you'll freeze. If you are too bored, you won't make a move. But right in the middle is like where you want to be. It's like kind of balanced.
I haven't seen the chart. No.
So. I mean, I'll put it up right here.
Let me see. Yeah, you can pull it up.
But
okay,
this is what we'll it
put
is.
Put it up on the screen, guys.
Yeah. So this is a flow state chart, and pretty much what it means is that like it's balance. That's what it is. And what I found for me, like this will be different for everyone because everyone's standards are different.
Exactly.
For me personally, like if I'm bored or if I feel like too comfortable, like I don't do anything. Like I get completely complacent.
Okay.
And I completely just don't really do much for a little bit.
Okay.
But like I can thrive in anxiety. I can thrive in a little bit of pressure on me just because it's just, if I just, I feel something.
Same here. I like that.
I like the pressure just because I like feeling like the pressure, feeling anxiety sometimes, because that's just like, that's resistance right there. Can I keep moving? It almost like excites me a little bit. Like I would even have nights where I would go to bed and I would just be disappointed with myself sometimes because I didn't do what I said I wanted to do. And anxiety comes from you not taking action.
The more you don't take action, the more anxiety.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And it's either I really had this big fire under my ass and like I use every waking moment to kind of just like try to do something, or I'm just like completely just like, I guess I do work hard and rest hard,
But that's a good thing, like for you to rest, because your body needs to kind of get the energy back up for you to work another 6-5 days. You know what I mean? This is not necessarily a bad thing.
I think that comes with like balance, anything, like what your standards are as well. Like everyone's standards are different. Like as in like, okay, my standard for working would be like what I'm trying to say is everyone's balance is different, right?
For
everyone's
sure.
balance is completely different.
Because we are like, so different.
And for me,
what's your balance? How do you rest? Do you like being alone? I've noticed with you is when we invite you on some on like let's go play soccer or whatever, sometimes you have the work and then you have to get obviously the 75 hard thing you're doing. But mostly what I learned from you and what I know about you is you like to be alone more to rest.
Yeah, that's your rest.
Somebody else. Yeah. Personally, I'm a different type of person. I can't, if I want to rest, I'll probably just go hang out with my friends, play soccer, some stuff like that. But
is kind of, or socializing with people is how you get out that, like that's how you kind of get your mind off work. But he gets his mind off on being alone and really just spending time with himself rather than necessarily with people. I think that's an introvert extrovert type of thing.
Yeah.
And nothing's wrong with either one. It's just that you can't be a too introvert and not too extrovert to the point where you don't know how to spend time with yourself anymore. You know what I mean?
Like for me personally, like, yeah, I guess like my rest would be just like be in my room all day, not talk to anyone. That's it. But when I'm in that room, I'm just like, for some reason, I unconsciously, I just don't even think about other people really at all.
Yeah.
And that's a way for me to kind of like cope, I guess, with like my emotions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which isn't a bad thing and stuff.
No, it's not.
But then when it comes to coping, it can be, right?
But the thing is, like, when I work, like, I work like 4 or 5 days a week, I'm constantly just talking to people, talking to people all day long. Yeah. So when I get home, I'm just completely burnt out and I have to kind of just be alone and kind of just like do everything I have to do.
Yeah. Right.
That's it. That's why when I come home from work, don't bother me. Like, I just want to get these things done.
Yeah. It makes more sense because when you do spend time in already around people, then you don't want any more people. Now you want time for yourself. But if it's the other way around where you mostly work alone, then you probably would miss and crave kind of socializing with people. And I think that's another thing. It's like, who do you socialize with, or who do you spend time with? Do you spend time with quality people? Do you spend quality time with quality people? You know what I mean? Because there's a big difference. If you just go to hang out with your friends, let's say, and you're not, and there's nothing productive happening or nothing really deep with your friend group, meaning you're not really getting to know each other. I don't know, I have this thing where if I'm not with people that I'm constantly like having a deep conversation or really talking about things that are meaningful and things that can actually, you know, manifest itself into the world positively and make a change one way or another, like influencing one another, motivating one another, talking about things that can actually impact the world, I don't find that peaceful. I don't like to be around the situations like that. For me personally, that's what I found. I can't be around people that think small. I can't. Like, it doesn't feel right. You know what I mean? Nothing against them.
It's but like it's shallow, just like, right?
It's like, it's too shallow. It's like, well, no shit, right? Like, we all know that. It's like, okay, let's go somewhere deeper. If it's just emotions and simply...
It's like small talk.
Exactly. Small talk. I mean, it doesn't really excite me, nor do I find it interesting. For me, it's not. So quality time is definitely number one.
I think like what we just kind of talked about these last couple of minutes is just pretty much like how to pace yourself, like how to find that balance between, I mean, working really hard, being disciplined, doing what you have to do, setting standards for yourself, and also learning what it really means to like rest hard, because obviously like, you need rest, but don't be a lazy couch potato, right?
Right.
Like, people
don't take fun to an extreme.
Like, don't, like, you're like, people's rest, like, what does that really mean? Like, then we could just get into the idea about vices and like what vice is good, what vice is bad and stuff like that. Like, oh, okay, if I work all day, is it okay for me to have a drink, or is it okay for me to play video games? Is it okay for me to do like all these things and stuff like that? And it really is different for everyone, I personally think, because if you can do that and then show up the next day to kind of get everything done, I'm not saying be a degenerate, I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is like, you properly, like, you're intentionally giving your time to something, not mindlessly doing it. For example, if I'm mindlessly just like binging YouTube videos because I'm so burnt out, that's different versus me intentionally watching a TV series that I like.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
there you go.
Those are two different things. And I learned this recently too, is that like for some people, like when I used to play video games, like I used to be on my phone like between matches or even during the match. And that's not me resting. That's me like kind of burning out a little bit.
Right.
I'm mindless because I'm opening up my phone. I'm not focusing on the game at hand. I'm focusing on the game itself. Or even when I'm like watching a TV series and like I'm checking my phone, I'm looking up, I'm like, I'm doing so many things.
Right.
It's like when you're trying to rest, that's it. Like singly focus on that. Put your phone in the other room. If you're going to genuinely watch a TV show, watch it. Don't be on your phone. Don't be scrolling while you're watching TV. Like do one thing and that's it. Stick to one single task at a time.
Exactly. And that's another thing with our society is even with friend groups or even with people spending time together, they're still on their phone. Like I really don't understand that concept. If you're around your friends, especially your close friends, and you want to be on your phone scroll, I think that literally shows that you don't really want to hang out with that person.
Or dude, their attention span, you know what I mean? If they don't find a certain thing interesting, they will just pick up their phone just to find that little like spark of that like fun. I don't know, you know what I mean?
Which is
actually bad. Like
when you pick up a phone when you're with somebody that you're supposed to spend time with, that simply just shows that you don't find that person nor interaction with that person interesting enough for you to have a conversation with them one-on-one or just sit down and talk rather you would pick up the phone and scroll. I think what this really shows is that people don't know how to spend quality time with each other anymore because of what technology has been doing. Because now everything, every sense of dopamine, every sense, because obviously when you're having a conversation with a friend, that's a deep conversation or a fun conversation, that's a dopamine itself. But then there's the positive dopamine and negative dopamine, or dopamine coming from a very natural place, then dopamine coming from, so to speak, like unnatural way. So when you're scrolling on your phone, I think that's a very different dopamine than when you're having a deep conversation, an exciting, adventurous conversation with your friend.
You know what people
that's
do
where
now?
We need to, what?
You know what people do now? I mean, I wasn't, like, I wouldn't think, this streamer was saying, they have a Discord. Some people have a Discord. Like, they're together.
Yeah.
They turn one of them turns on the movie. The other one's just sitting there, and they're virtually watching movie together.
Yeah, that's
like, people do just, that. I
it's
know.
It's so stupid, if you ask me. I mean, just it is pretty strange. Yeah,
going over at somebody's house and watching it together. Just what I'm trying to say is, technology has
made people
lazy. That they're like, look. Instead of me driving a car and going to my friends and actually, like, on like live being there with them and watching the movie, why should I do that when I can do this?
Yeah, unless you're like states away or countries away, that's a different story.
But dude, think about it. Why? Like, I personally don't understand, because what is one guy turning on? You're just watching it on the phone and they're there watching it with you. It's for me, it's an absolute like insanity, if you ask me, because
yeah.
Like, I just feel like there are some things that, you can use technology, like to text someone, call someone, but like watching movies together, just crazy. I don't know. There's a lot of things
like
that,
I said,
that they
if
do
you're,
too.
I guess if you're states away, really far, to the point where you can't drive, and it's a very good friend of yours, I would probably consider it.
Yeah.
But depends. Like, it really depends. I think it has to be.
But you know what sense I'm talking about.
Like, yeah. People, if you're talking
people
about
now, do that instead of just.
Right. Instead of driving 30 minutes, if you're too lazy about that.
Yeah.
And you'd rather watch it from Discord. For me, that part is very strange, and it's not. I can't really fathom
even
whole idea.
Okay, look. Even when we grew up in Georgia, right? We would play soccer together. Yeah. Now what they do is they play online,
true,
FIFA and stuff. They don't go out and play soccer anymore. Look, you want to play soccer? It's raining. Let's go play online.
Yeah, but we didn't care
for us,
about the weather.
It wasn't there. It wasn't the weather. It wasn't anything. You know, if we wanted to play, and I'm not like back then, there was video games too. Guess what? We could have played online too, but we didn't. We chose to be present. But now it's like those type of things is almost like they're kind of coping with it. I don't know. They're kind of saying, I don't know how to put it in words, but it's just.
I guess. Like, not to stray away too much from like the whole New Year's resolution in 2025 is, I think what it comes down to is that's why there's no deep goals that people have, rather big goals, big ambitions, anything that is about changing the world in a positive way and making an impact, like a big impact on the world. In a way that's really authentic to you and very different, because you are pretty much your own self. I think God created us very special, every single one of us. I think what it comes down to is us finding that God created human being in his image that is to now make impact in the world. I think if we do find that, we are in totally better place. But until then, I think that's the journey, because it's not that when you find your purpose, your life ends or your life doesn't, it's not exciting anymore, but there's like stages to it. I think this is how I look at it. Ready? A very exciting stage of your life should be playing like that life, a game of life where you are seeking for your purpose. And then when you know that you found your purpose and your calling, boom, now from then on, it's living with that purpose and according to that purpose every single day and coming up with ideas to how you can use that God-given purpose and calling to then change the world. So, and then the little increments are the habits that you do, what the goals that you set for yourself monthly, yearly, like those are the little increments. But then the big changes come to the big impact that you make in the world, or really reaching out to millions of people that you otherwise wouldn't if the internet wasn't there and these type of things. And you really see that because of you, now people have picked up on doing certain things. Like I know in the gym, ever since I started to, let's say, record, now I see people getting tripods. They even told me like, yo, where do I get the tripod? Now I see them getting a tripod, starting their own Instagram page, posting their workouts, all that kind of stuff, because I kind of motivated them too. And it's not just that, but it's the simple idea that now you're making a positive impact on people, that because you can do it, so can everybody else. And it's a motivating part of it. If I can do it, so can you. And I think if you can do that in this world in a positive way, that when you know you're doing something good and now you can get other people to do that positive thing too, I think that's a very big accomplishment. So everybody should, I guess, strive for that side of them where I have something to give to the world and I can work every day to give the world this gift, so to speak. So that would be like my number one thing for people leading up to, you know, overcoming those habits, not overcoming the habits, but doing the habits to, you know, achieve that character. And then from then on, now they just start thinking about what can I do for the better of this world. So what'd you guys have to say about that?
Yeah, that's well said, man. You can't, or like as humans, like we're not meant to be just complacent and just the same. Because eventually, like emotions will pop up to signal you, hey, we need to get better. That's why you'll get depressed. That's why you'll have anxiety, because these are signals that, hey, you need to take on this call to adventure that you currently have to feel. And that's the hero's journey. It's, we're constantly in these cycles of getting called to something, fixing it, getting to that cycle of despair, getting through it, and then overcoming your past self.
Exactly.
And that's just the constant cycle of just getting better.
Right. Because if you're just staying still and not doing anything and getting complacent, it's like the lives keep going. The life around you is moving on and you're not. So it's like you have to kind of go with the flow, but then have the times where you go up the stream to challenge yourself to, you know, go back to fix something. Mm-hmm. You see a problem. Now you have to go through that resistance to fix that problem. Because at the end of the day, every problem that you face and you have to solve it, it is a resistance that you're facing. But then there are times where you have to go with the flow and you have to constantly be in that flow state of mind, a state where you improve and you get better. Mm-hmm. So that's where the growth is.
And something I just want to bring up too is that even with like people who, especially like, I feel like with Christian men too, I feel like some guys, like they kind of like, they're too soft on themselves and they don't kind of reach for more because they think, oh, like I have everything, like I'm okay, like everything's all good and all and stuff like that. Yeah, but it's like you weren't put here just to be soft. You weren't put here just to be the same. You weren't put here just to kind of just be just average and be okay. You know what I mean? Like, we all love God and God has put us here for a reason. I'm not going to disrespect him by just being nothing with his creation, doing something with it.
Yeah.
And so I feel like even people who do believe in God, especially like Christian guys and stuff like that, should try to become the best possible version of themselves and facing that resistance, like understanding, hey, I don't want to be like this. Hey, like I'm insecure about this. Hey, I'm weak here, right? And through the grace of God, guess what? You can level up.
Yeah. Is there someone that is like that? Have you ever?
No, I just like someone? I see people on the internet. I feel like even when we like sometimes like I guess we go to church and stuff like that. Like I don't really see people who are just like ambitious. People who are just like boom, boom, boom. Like they're there.
Well, it's usually old people. So maybe that's,
I mean, there's people our age too. You know what I mean? But
I see where he's going with it because I think it's an easy way to kind of
put yourself
in a very complacent state where you are now, you have a relationship with Christ. You go to church. You're constantly learning about God, getting closer to God. And you know, now you know that through his grace, you're saved and you're going to heaven. And this can all play into your mind saying, okay, what else is there to do when eternal life is the best goal that anybody can ever wish for? What is there to do on earth, right? And I think this is a bad mindset, if you had to ask me, because the reason why God keeps you alive, Lot keeps you alive, even though you've been saved and you're going to heaven, that means he's calling you to something greater. The only reason, like the biggest reason why you were saved in the first place because God chose you. It's like that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. If you're born in this world and if you're alive and you are waking up, God chose you. God created you. He knew your destiny. He knew who you were going to be. He knew what you were here to do. So no matter who it is, no matter what religion, no matter what faith, at the end of the day, God created you for him to get to know you personally. And then through that relationship, now you have a great calling in this world because he called you by name. He called you to be this person that would make an impact in this world. And then with this impact in the world, now you can have that everlasting relationship with somebody who created you for that impact in the world. It's very interesting when you put these two in perspective. And I think when people look at it from a very serious standpoint like that, I don't think anybody should take their life on seriously, or nor should they take their life as if it's already done when it's not. It will be done when you'll be with Jesus in mm-hmm. paradise, right?
You'll be alive forever, you mean? So, I mean...
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the time when you can say, all right, like, it was finished for me on this earth.
It's time to get to work.
Exactly. So I think with this episode, it's very clear that our message is to really strive to be better, the best version of yourself in 2025. Make this year the best in your life and the best that you can possibly aim for. Go, be consistent, go slow, because slow and steady wins the race. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. So always remember that the goals you set for yourself, it's very important that you set out your goals properly and ambitiously at the same time, finding the balance between, you know, really understanding that this life moves on and you don't get back yesterday or the 1 hour that you spent on meaningless stuff. So make sure that every hour and every minute you spend on things that are productive and things that grow your character, because at the end of the day, it's those habits that then develop you into the character. And once you become that character, then you become according to your goal that you set out for yourself. And in no time, you find yourself being the character that you always dreamed of because of the work and the little habits that you put in place and really align yourself to the calling of the adventure. Take the next step. That's just what it comes down to. You said this, you have to jump for the net to appear. You have to take that leap of faith because you don't know how things are going to be when you step into your career or your goal or your business. Just have to take steps, face the adversary. Don't be afraid of the adversary. Adversary is there because after that adversary, there's light. There's some kind of, there's a reward waiting for you out there. But without the challenges, without the obstacles, the reward just won't feel like something that deserves, something that is worth fighting for. Because if you know that you want to be the person that, you know, reaches financial freedom, that gives their family the life that you never had necessarily, and makes an impact in the world so positively that now people are living in a more positive and better world with a lot of knowledge and abundance, well, those come with a price, and everything has a price. So the price that you have to pay, as well as all of us, is to really go through those challenges so the future will be brighter. So that's what it comes down to.
And also, one thing I want to add to that is, it's a very beautiful thing you said. And one thing is that you might miss something in the past. You might not be able to get that 1 hour back, but you have the chance to make up for it. You know what I mean? That's a lot of people kind of like miss in their minds. You know what I mean? It's like they're really worried about their past, and it's like, I missed this, but guess what? Now you have a future that you can almost like recreate.
Yeah.
In a future's way that bigger and future's brighter. You have another chance to do what you missed in the past.
100%. Amen to that.
Exactly.
Quote of the day. It's going to do it.
Juju, you wrote it, right?
Okay, I'll do it. The reason so many people fail to make lasting changes is that they don't commit to one path long enough to see results. By Mary K. Mueller.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Wait, what? No, it's Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mary, you said K. Mary, Mueller, right?
What?
You said Mary.
Yeah. And then you said Macy, right? Or something?
No, I didn't. I said amazing.
Oh, amazing. I thought you said Macy. I was like, no.
Amazing.
It's yeah. Very, yeah.
This quote really sums up what we talked about, especially in the beginning of the episode, where people don't see the results, not because they necessarily didn't try hard enough in the beginning, nor is it's because they didn't set out a proper goal, but I think it's the lack of consistency and expecting something in return so fast. But in reality, the proof of this life is you have to really commit to something, take that next step, no matter where you are, and really, really, you know, fight for your goals through consistency and through the ups and downs in order to then succeed.
And when I read this quote, right, when I read it, it's like one thing that kind of like I saw in my head and what I imagined was like, imagine you're paving a path, right? And you're looking for something like the end goal that you have, right?
Yeah.
And you're so close, but you're at the same time, you're also super tired of doing that for a long time. And you're literally one hit away. And that's the time you give up is exactly the time that you could have got what you were looking for. So
don't worry about it.
Like giving up is just the worst thing to do. Because you never know how close you are until you get it. You know what I mean? And you listen, 100%. Life is cruel. You know, it's not fair. Sometimes you might not get what you're aiming for.
Yeah.
But I can say one thing for sure though. Maybe you might not be able to get one thing that you set out to do, but then there's going to be another thing that you're going to fight for that it's going to be worth for.
Exactly. God has a plan for every single one of you. God has a great plan for you. You just have to really work for that goal, because you will get your share fairly and justly, because God is just. So amen to that.
Amen.
So our shout out is on YouTube by edars20 or edars20, whatever it is. I'm not totally sure, but thank you for this comment. I will read it now. People have been claiming that there's something quote unquote missing in men, and that there's been a quote unquote masculinity crisis for centuries now. There isn't a crisis now. There wasn't one back then either. Certain men have beliefs on what they think real men is based on their own insecurities and what they are missing. And they attribute it to how all men should be. The group of you display cargo cult masculinity, attributing unconnected ideas to what you believe a man is. The manosphere got a grip of all of you and won't let go, unfortunately. I sincerely hope you develop a more logical idea on all of this as you learn more. And this was from a short video that we released on YouTube titled "This is What's Missing in Men Nowadays." Wait, and it was from
full episode?
No, it was a short video from a full episode which we did on masculinity and modern day masculinity. Thank you for this comment. We appreciate, maybe because it looks like this person is sincere, coming from a standpoint where they want to show us something that they know more than we do, and that's probably true. But I still don't agree with how he puts here as us getting caught up in this idea of manosphere, which is,
what does that mean?
Manosphere is very collection. It says is a varied collection of websites, blogs, and online forums promoting masculinity, misogyny, and opposition to feminism. Communities within the manosphere include men's right activists, evolutionary celebrities, men going their own way, pickup artists, and fathers' right group with the specifics. So it's pretty much a red pill movement or red pill community in by the looks of it.
So it's from a full episode, but the short clips we post, right? So it's from like, where did he
comment George,
that
yes. Yeah. On a short video that
so
we released,
I'm guessing
from a
that masculinity episode. Probably didn't watch the full episode. He probably watched that short clip. So I would suggest him to, if I'm not mistaken, for him to watch the full episode, because then he will understand what we came from and why we were, or what we said in general, because I don't think we just like pointed out some things. So like, these people aren't masculine. We just kind of almost gave the evidence too of like,
dude, there's a huge evidence. Just go out there and look around. I mean, we have social media. I think it's probably the biggest proof that we can see how people live around the world without necessarily you going there. even though, you know, physically seeing is better than looking at it on the phone. We do know what's going on in our society, and we have to be, as men, the ones that speak about it, the ones that point out the flaws of each other. And it doesn't have to be me necessarily, you know, pointing flaws of you or Mike, but it has to be all of us coming together to point out each other's flaws. Therefore, we can work on those flaws. If we don't do that for each other, nobody else will. So it has to be that point where it's not that we're talking about our insecurities, but those insecurities that were there at some point of our own, we have to point that out so other people don't struggle with it. Because if I know that I'm struggling with something and I'm not being a man where I should be, I better point that out, or somebody else better point that out, because that's the best way we can help each other. So what it comes down to is masculinity crisis and crisis in men always was and always will be in history and even in present. The only thing is, if we don't call it out, therefore we're pretty much saying that it doesn't exist and doesn't need to be worked on. And it's just, I think, an easy way out from a situation where you don't think the problem exists. I think that's where the problem exactly is there. So
plus, not everybody's going to be able to, you know, understand the message that we were trying to give out, because people are just going to be emotional about it, and they're going to let their emotions take over.
Right.
You know, you shouldn't let that happen.
Dude, so when you see a man walking in heels with a wig on, claiming to be a woman, and vice versa, women claiming to be a man, and this weird dynamic on people not even understanding their true biological, I guess, their biological beings, I think we really can't say that masculinity crisis or missing this quote-unquote masculinity missing in men doesn't exist, because it certainly does exist, and it's there. We all have that one way or another.
Some people actually don't have the deep meaning of what it means to be masculine, what they think masculine is. It's a guy. Every guy's masculine. How can a guy not be masculine? I mean, the word masculine itself is used, let's call it, on a guy, but it's not true, because a guy cannot be masculine. I mean, and we see that nowadays. I mean, there's like
a lot of examples. The thing is, too, it's like I was some stuff, because you can't like deny the fact that there is some sort of masculine energy, some sort of masculine essence, because when we were all younger, when we looked up to like hero figures, the hero types, the people who were warriors, the people who were
conquering, out there,
those types of things, it's like there's something inside of everyone. It's called the collective unconscious, and it's this unconscious idea that everyone knows in the back of their mind that, okay, this is what masculinity is, what a masculine energy is.
Yeah.
It's the law of like polarities and stuff, like the poles, masculine and feminine. Every single thing in this world has either masculine or feminine energy within it, whether you like it or not.
Not just that, but you as a human feel attracted to that specific nature of a person. If you are a masculine person, you are most likely to be attracted with the feminine rather than masculinity. In a partner. That's why when the polarities get mixed up, and I would suggest you to read, if you haven't read The Way of the Superior Man, that really talks about a lot with the polarity with masculinity and femininity, is that, like you said, it's an essence. It's more like an energy and a characteristic that you develop on the lifestyle that you live, and also who you are as a person in your lifestyle. So I think what it comes down to is not the fact that we are necessarily saying, okay, this is what's taking over. I don't think that was our message, but we better make sure and keep it in check that it does not take over, because that's the last thing you want in this world, for there to be no masculinity in men and no femininity in women, which is how God created them to be, and how God created us to work with masculinity and femininity. So without that, we can't be going into destruction. So before we in any sort of way go there, we have to be people, especially as men, talking about these topics, because if we won't, somebody else will. So, I think what we talked about in that specific episode, maybe there were some things that we did say out of context, or we didn't really clarify it too much. But I think what it comes down to is you have a conversation with somebody, you can talk to them, get their ideas on things and really understand where they're coming from, because it's very hard for somebody to really understand what I'm thinking about masculinity when I'm talking about it in a 1 hour episode. Like, and somebody has questions about it, they write in the comment section. I can only do so much by answering it, but what it comes down to is you can't just read somebody's mind. So the best way that you can do this is look around, judge things in a very unbiased perspective, and look at the history. Were the man acting like how they're acting now? Were their lives the way they are now? And then you probably will get the answer yourself. So that's just what it comes down to. I think everybody has to be honest about one thing, is that at the end of the day, we cannot deny that there's masculinity and there's femininity, and everybody knows that. It's just that some people, you know, some people's feelings are hurt by the fact mm-hmm. that when the problems are being pointed out, because it's there, you can't deny that. So still thank you for the comment. I hope you do watch our full episode. If you haven't, let us know what you think about the comment that we made. Maybe if you are somebody that lives close to us or something, DM us. We would like to have you on this podcast and have a conversation about such things. Sure. So
that would be awesome.
Thank you for these comments, guys. We really appreciate all the support. May 2025 be the best year in your life and keep on driving. And with that, think big,
grow big. Peace.